Acts chapter number 8. We're going to try again. I want to say this before I get started. I appreciate these young people. They're working hard. And might shows up, doesn't it? They're working hard trying to be all they can for the glory of God. And I've not said it, but Sister Grace has just done tremendous on the piano in Sister King's absence. I just feel like, Sister Grace, you've done a tremendous job. I really appreciate you filling in, and she don't complain. She just gets up there and does what she's supposed to do. And I just really appreciate you helping us on that part of it. My, we've got to bring this next generation along. Just how it is. And I see it. I just see it slowly moving that away. And I like it. I love to see that. Well, the Lord's blessed us with some good young people. I sure won't do my part to, if He's entrusted them under our care, we at church, we all do our part to try to help them all we can. That's right. Well, let's pray before we start. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight. Father, you know my inabilities, my inadequacies, my insufficiencies. You know I have to have you if there's any good that will come out of this evening. And Father, I ask you just to do what needs doing. Just move on the hearts. Do an eternal work in every heart. Father, I pray if there's anything that would hinder, you'd hold back the hindrances. And when it's all said and done, help me to preach with clarity of thought and speech. Father, help me. Help me to bring glory to your high and holy and wonderful name. Use us this evening. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, please forgive me for it and help me. And I'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I guess really I shared my heart more than I did anything. That's just... I really let you see the burden I carry the biggest part of the time, be perfectly honest with you. I think any pastor, most of them will not be transparent enough to let you see it, but I think any pastor cares about God's people carries that same burden. We really need the Lord. We really need the Lord. And church, I've been here for a few years, but we're not as faithful as we ought to be to the house of God. And we ought to really think hard. I might have just danced around that today, this morning, but I don't want to dance around it. I just want to say we need to be more faithful. If the church doors are open, we're having service. If you can, you need to be here. Now, if you're sick or you've got to work or you're providentially hindered, it's a whole different matter. Brother Derek back there, he works at Alcoa, and there's just times you can't be here. I understand that. Brother Ronnie used to work there, and Brother Junior. We understand that, but if you can, we've always had a faithful bunch around here, and I don't want that to slip away. I want us to stay faithful. And I tell you what worries me about that, and I've already got off on the wrong foot. I can tell that right now, but it's the truth. What I'm saying is right. If you're not faithful to come to the house of God, there's a good chance you're not faithful to read your Bible and pray like you ought to. It's an easy thing to come to the house of God. You get help at the house of God. I mean, most of us, we just get to enjoy when we come to the house of God. So, I just ask you to pray about that. Ask the Lord if what I've just said is right. And if it is, make adjustments in your life. Just make a few adjustments and help us. And I promise you it'll help your family. It'll help your family. It'll teach you. It'll teach your children that you're serious about serving God, that it's important to be in the house of God. And I'll tell you this, I've got grown children. Some of them don't come like they should. When your children get grown, you'll want them to be in the house of God. You really will. And the time to show them how important that is right now while they're young. Now, I'm right on that. You just talk to the Lord about it and see if that's so. Well, that's message number one, I guess. I'm going to try to look tonight. Here's what I really see in chapter number 8. Here's where I've been trying to get to. Maybe I've just been beating this thing to death. I don't know. But I see the struggles of the church in the first part of the chapter. The struggles of the church. We see the death of Stephen, Saul's making havoc of the church, and the saints are scattered. I see all that. But then I see the servant of God in Philip. But I really, really, I think what this chapter, when we get down to it, I see a classification of sinners. There's some that receive, there's some that's a fake and not what they ought to be, and then there's one who wants to be saved and don't know how to be saved and needs somebody to guide him. And so I see the struggles of the church. I see the servant of the Lord, and then I see the sinners who need help. And that's really where I'm wanting to get to. And I don't know, as sure as I'm standing here, the Lord put this chapter on my heart, and I feel like maybe I've not done as good with it as I ought to, but I've done the best I can do. I promise you I have spent much time in this chapter dealing with these issues. And so I'm going to start in verse number 5 tonight. I'm going to, we spent plenty of time in verses 1 through 4. And when we come, and here's how I'm going to approach it. I'm going to start verse by verse. And if the Lord leads me in a particular way, then we'll go that way. And if not, then we'll just go verse by verse. Now, in verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Now, here is the mention of Philip. We see him in chapter number 6 in verse number 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and a proselyte of Antioch. Notice verse 3 of chapter 6. "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." And so here we have a man named Philip. Now, here's what I said, and I hedged on you, I guess, a little bit this morning. I said God was pushing the saints out to begin to carry out the Great Commission in chapter 8, verse number 9. I think I said it this way, God took persecution and used that for good in the saints' life. But I want you to look in chapter 11 and verse 19. Turn with me to chapter 11, verse 19. Who did they preach to when they was pushed out, or when they was when this persecution came and they were scattered from Jerusalem? Look what it says in verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." Notice what it says, "preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Now this crowd in verse 4, "therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word." They preached the word to Jews only. They still have that mindset. I know what happened in chapter 2. They were from all different nationalities, but they were proselytes. They were Jewish proselytes. The Jew still has this sense of superiority about their race. And so the point I'm trying to make really, really in chapter 8, as we begin to deal with Philip, we see the first one who went to anybody besides the Jews, as far as my mind can remember. This is the first time that they've left. Verse 4, they still were just going to the Jews. But now we come down to verse number 5, and we have this man, Philip. Now, I believe this about him. I believe when they were scattered, he was one that scattered. Now, I understand that he's a evangelist. I understand that. But I believe he scattered. And when he scattered, he went down to the city of Samaria. Now, let me review for just a minute. John chapter 4. Turn with me there for just a second. Let's see what the Jews thought about the Samaritans. In John chapter 4 and verse number 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, we went over to 2 Kings and we saw that when the Babylonian captivity came in, that they took the Jews and they put Gentiles into this Samaritan territory. They kind of developed a little twisted religion off of Judaism, and so they were a little sideways, and the Jews and the Gentiles intermarried, and the Jews despised the Samaritans. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were outcasts. In chapter 11, verse 19, we read that these folks in verse 4 that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere, but they were preaching to the Jews only. We come down to chapter or verse number 5, and we see this man, Philip. What can we say about Philip? We know this much about Philip. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of wisdom. He was a man of honest report. And then I want to just say a few things about Philip. Maybe I haven't said. He was willing to do whatever for the glory of God. Philip was a man, he could work, if you'll let me maybe phrase it like this, he was a man who could work in the kitchen in Acts chapter 6 or preach a meeting in Acts chapter 8. It didn't matter to him, he would do whatever for the glory of God. And I want to say to you, we need some folks like that. We need folks that will be just as sincere for the glory of God to pick up paper and bottles in the parking lot as they are willing to teach a Sunday school class. Amen. That's right. There's a lot of work to be done around here. I had to get the women to trim the bushes. I didn't get them. They volunteered to. Maybe, Chad, you told her to. I don't know. But anyway, she had some help, of course, but they were working on the bushes. And then they started weeding the beds. And then they got covered up with ants. And we had to get somebody to spray for ants. And we need somebody to spray Roundup around here. Here's what you say. Well, that's not very spiritual work. Can I just say this? It'll bring glory to God if we keep our building up, don't you think? Don't you think that'd be a good thing if we do those things, that when people drive by, they get a good taste of our Lord? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying those little things are important. Philip was one of those guys. If Philip's a member of this church, he'd spray the Roundup. If Philip's a member of this church, he'd... Dre's already done it, but he'd spray for ants. He'd do whatever needed to be done. And can I say, that's the right attitude for God's people. Maybe I just need to slow up. That's the right attitude. We just need to do what needs to be done. And so Philip, he's a fellow, he's a humble fellow, Ben. I'm working on it. I'm going to get there before I get through. He's a humble fella. He's a fella. He's not too big-headed that he can't go in the kitchen and help make sure that the widows are treated right in Acts chapter 6. But now we see him in Acts chapter 8. He's preaching a revival. He's holding a crusade, if I could say it that way. And so we see this, some things about him that I think would be good for our life. And then I want to say too, he was willing to defy the brethren. You know, the brethren have their little program. I don't know, Brother Harrison, you go here and there. I just stay right here. But what I can tell, a lot of times the brethren will get together and figure out what's right for your life or for my life. I mean, they've got their little program. If you don't line up and dot your I and cross your T like the brethren, so I'm not against the brethren. I'm for the brethren. But can I tell you this? Every child of God has to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit for their life. They have to do what God wants them to do, and you have to do what God has for your life, don't you see? And so here's Philip. All the brethren went to the Jews only. But now here's Philip, and God said, I want you to go down there to those outcasts, those social rejects. I want you to go down there to that, if I could say it this way, that lower class of people as far as the Jews were concerned. Nobody, there is no lower class. We're all just people. The ground is level at the cross. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad the ground is level at the cross. No big eyes, no little U's. It's just level ground at the cross. I say glory to God for that. God told him, by the way, he's in pretty good company because John chapter 4, Jesus passed by that way. Now this does say it's a city of Samaria, not the province or the territory of Samaria. Many folks think, many writers think it's the same town in John chapter 4. It's Sychar. That's what some think. Some have another opinion on that. But here's Philip, and he's willing to do what the brethren won't do. He's willing to humble himself. He's willing to lower himself to this class of people that's looked down upon and tell them about Jesus. And my, that ought to be what we're willing to do. I hope none of you are such big shots in such high society you would shun somebody who the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to share the gospel with. I hope you're not geared out of that mold. Certainly Philip wasn't. The brother's advice would have been to Philip, don't go to Samaria. Don't you go down there to that bunch. Stay away from them. Avoid them. But the Holy Ghost said, go. And Philip said, I'm going in obedience to the Holy Ghost. My, I appreciate that. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I mentioned this to Chad. I thought it was a pretty good little truth I uncovered. The widows were a neglected bunch. They were neglected. The Grecian widows were neglected in Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans are a rejected bunch. You don't know it, but if you would read, or some of you may, you would read Deuteronomy 23:1, a eunuch was forbidden in the congregation of the Lord. Can I say that it looks like the whole ministry of Philip was dealing with rejected or shunned or mistreated people. Whole ministry. I mean, from the widows to the Samaritans to the Ethiopian eunuch. All of them, in a sense, were castaways, were rejects. Whatever word you want to use, social misfits, socially looked down upon. But God, aren't you glad we've got a God that cares enough for the castaways? I mean those that we might shun or might want to walk away from or distance ourselves from, there's a God in heaven that cares about them as much as he cares about us. Well, I just say hallelujah for that. There's a God that cared about the Samaritans enough to speak to a man of God who he knew would obey him and told him to go down and preach Christ to him. And he did, and they believed, and they were saved. By the way, old Philip defied the brethren. Let me just leave it at that. And he was willing to serve whoever, whenever, and wherever. Have flexibility, Brother Brian. Man, go anywhere. Do whatever God wanted him to do. I just want to say to you, we need some folks like that. We just need some of that crowd. I'll tell you something else I see in Philip's life. It took quite a bit of boldness after Stephen was killed to go down to Samaria and preach Christ publicly to a group of people. I mean, stop, think about that. Here's Stephen just been killed. That's his cohort. Stephen's one of the seven, just like Philip. Stephen was an evangelist preaching the word of God, just like Philip's getting ready to do. Hey, the Judaizers were not just satisfied with Stephen. There was great persecution that followed Stephen's death. And here's a man of God, knowing what's happened, knowing the enemies of God, knowing how evil, how wicked, and how violent they are. He just stands up and preaches God. Oh, preaches Christ, I should say. Who is God? He preaches Christ regardless of what's going to come or happen or the consequences. He just preaches Christ. I say, what a soldier he was. Really nothing's much said about him. I tend to think he's a champion. One of those hidden heroes. His ministry was to the outcast, I could say it that way. And he let me just say a few other things. He had the right focus for success. He just preached Christ. He didn't try to manipulate people. He didn't try to use gimmickry. He didn't try to use tricks or to entertain or perform or be a storyteller. Here's what Philip did. He just preached Christ. And can I tell you, it got the job done. Now, I know I've said some of these things. I remember saying them. But not only did he preach Christ, but he helped them when he could. Here's what it says. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many verse 7, that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Now here's what he did. He performed miracles, and we know we can't do that. We know that was a transition gift to confirm the word of God before the New Testament was in force. We understand that. But can I tell you what we can do? We can do what we can do to help people. Is it wrong for God's people to help people? You know, if there is such a thing as a dumb question, that's a dumb question. But I want you to think about it. Is it wrong? Is it wrong to take a little time, somebody in need, to help them out? My, I'm afraid we've got to the point that it's my four, no more. And can I just say this? If the church is right, it's not a taking institution, but it's a giving institution. The church gives. The church gives help and counsel and prayers and finances sometimes. But the church is a giving institution and not a taking institution. And so here's Philip, and this man of God who we know very little about, but he's down here amongst people nobody else would go to, and he's trying to help them. He preaches Christ to them, and then he helps them all he can. Now, I think if we're going to be what we ought to be as a church and as individuals, we ought to draw some lessons from Philip's life. We ought to draw some lessons. I guess I could take you over to Luke if I could find the text in my notes, where after we went out into the highways and hedges, we go to the lame and the maimed and those that are broken. I'm afraid we failed there some way. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid that that's Luke 14. Let's turn over there and look at that just a minute. I want y'all to read this with me. In Luke chapter 14, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. So he'd already bade them. He'd already invited them. They knew he was making a supper. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. So he had invited guests to the supper. And when the meal was ready, he invited them to come. For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. All of them began to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, now here he was, he had invited them. The implication is they had agreed to come, but when it was time to come, they all made excuses. The servant came back, told the master, and he's angry about that. And he said to his servant, verse 21, about halfway through the verse, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. In other words, get out of the cities, get out in the country now, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now here is the great truth that I wanted you to get. After the invitation, the master of the house said, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. That's the cast outs of society. That's those who were the rejects of that day. That's those who couldn't keep a good job and generate income and profit the church. That's those who needed somebody to help them along the way. And here's what the master said, those who are able won't come. You go out there to those who are troubled, in need, cast down, and you invite them. I think that's what Philip's doing here. He's going to this group in Acts chapter 8 who are rejects by man's standards, but not God's. And the Bible says this, we're going to see the first group of sinners are these Samaritans. Now we know the Lord has already sown seed in John chapter 4. Many believe because of the woman's testimony, and then many more believe because of Jesus' words. That's what the Bible teaches. So we know there were some believers here. And so here is Philip, and he came down and he preached Jesus unto them. Now here's what we, if we were writing a story, here's what we would say, and the sinners rejected what Jesus said because they hated him. But can I tell you this? Not all sinners hate the Lord. Not all sinners would reject the truth. I want you to understand this. It may not be many in our land. It may not be as many as there was right here. But the Bible says Philip just came down under, I think, direction. I don't think I'm reading more in the text than I should. Under direction, the Holy Ghost, he comes down to Samaria and he preaches Christ. And something you and I wouldn't dare think would happen in Maryville, Tennessee, the Bible says, and the people of one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now here's what happened. He preached Christ and they received it. They heeded the message. And I want to say this. We've got kind of a warped idea about witnessing to sinners, and I know there's a lot of sinners out there who really don't want you to talk to them. They don't want to hear anything. They have no interest in any of those things about the Lord. But can I say there are sinners out there who will receive the truth. I think the devil blinds us to that. I believe he gets us thinking that everybody's going to slam the door in our face, and everybody's going to curse us, and everybody's going to become angry and upset with us. And there may be some of that. There may be some of that we have to encounter. But here's some people, they just heard the truth and they embraced it. I just wonder this, church, how many people we run across in our daily life, if we would just share Jesus with them, just preach Christ. I'll use what the Bible says about Philip. If we'd just preach Christ, they'd receive. Do you think there's any in Blount County? There has to be. There has to be. Here's Philip and the people. And notice. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but notice what happens in the text. It's more than just getting saved. When they believe and accept the Lord, and I believe they accept the Lord, when they believe and accept the Lord, notice what happens in verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. Of course, devil possession would have to come out. It's salvation. But notice what else. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were what? They were healed. You see, there was a spiritual work that went on. But aren't you glad God helps us more than just spiritually? Have you ever been just down and couldn't hardly go? And maybe you just prayed to the Lord and he just helped you some way or another. And you look back and you know it was just God. Now, I don't know. Karen Shingles may be worse than what they are, what they have been, but I got up this morning, I've been praying for, and I've been telling God, that's just a little thing, God, that's just, you can just touch that and just do whatever. And I asked her this morning, how you feel? And she said, I feel a whole lot better. Now, let me say this, she may not be completely healed, but I thank God that he helped us a little bit. I'm thankful, and so many times he just helps us. Have you ever been working on something and can't get a bolt or a screw started? And you just say, Lord, help me. And some way you think it's just accidental, or maybe you think it's coincidence. But all of a sudden that thing just threads on there and you tighten it up. You say, that's such a little thing. Our great God don't care about that. Hey, can I tell you, he cares enough about you. He knows how many hairs is on your head. Can I tell you, he knows every time a little sparrow falls to the ground. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows where you're at. Can I just say to you that our God cares about the little things in your life? Oh my. Here's old Philip. come down there, and not only are they saved, but he helps them physically. He helps us every day with things that's not necessarily related. I guess everything's spiritual in one sense of the word, but he just helps us every day with things. Have you ever just been so troubled you can't hardly stand it? Maybe you just slip away to your prayer closet and pray a while. I never forget, I've told you this story multitude of times, but there's one Saturday. Man, I just went far as I could go. I mean, I just could not go on. I had to preach. I thought I had to preach. And I should say I get to preach, but that day, I had to preach the next day. And I just went in my bathroom. I used to pray in my bathroom a lot. Brother Bud, you got saved in your bathroom, I believe.
Yes, sir.
That's what I did. I slipped in the bathroom off our bedroom. And I just got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I can't go on. I can't go on. And I guess I spent 15, 30 minutes. I don't know what it was. But can I tell you, when I come out of there, I was high-stepping. I mean, I went in defeated, not able to go on. And I came out with the energy. I could have just charged the devil and gotten a fight with him. I felt so good in the Lord. You see, he just cares about us. And he helps us. And those little things that you might think the Lord doesn't care about, he does care about. He does care about them. My, he started helping them. And I want you to notice this. And there was great joy in that city. I mean, here's a people, I guess they had sadness before, but now here's the man of God's come down and preached the word of God, and they have received it and acted on that, and God's helped them, and not only has he healed them physically, but he's touched them emotionally, and he's brought great joy to their life. Can I tell you what I'm afraid we're missing out on in our Christian life? And that's joy so many times. But my, God's people ought to have joy. That is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, is it not? Joy, love, joy, and peace. Where's our joy at? We ought to be a happy people. We're on our way to heaven. It looks like it's going to be real soon. He's going to say, come up hither. That's what it looks like. Why, we ought to be skipping out of here tonight. And I'm preaching my own condemnation. I get so burdened and so troubled with looking around. But can I tell you, church, when I start looking up at him and I get my eyes focused on him, everything looks good. I mean, it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look like we're in trouble. It looks like soon we're going to be with the Lord. Oh, glory to his name. When he moves in and begins to work, there'll be some joy among the believers. Well, praise his name. Let me see where I'm at on my time this evening. Well, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. Here's a group of outcasts. Nobody cares about. Everybody shuns and avoids and goes the other way. But God cares about them. He sends a man, God, down there that preaches the word of God. And they get saved. They're birthed into the family of God, if I can say it that way. They're birthed into the family of God. And when that happens, they get some physical help and they get some emotional help. They're happy people. Oh, I wish we could be happy like God would want us to be. And so we see Philip doing a great work here. If you were to turn to Acts chapter 17, look at Mars Hill, some mocked. Some said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. But some believed. It's not like that here. They heeded the word of God. You know what we really need to do? If I'm a man of God and I've got God's message for the hour, you know what really your responsibility is? Take heed to it. Amen. Just heed it. Not mock it. Not say, now I'll take care of it later. Not I'll hear you again of this matter later on down the road and procrastinate. We just need to do what the Holy Spirit deals with us to do. That's right. You know what will happen if you do that? You'll have some joy in your heart. That's right. That's right. And so, we see they had sadness, but now they have joy. No doubt they had pain and sorrow, but the physical health, they have joy. Hopelessness now is great joy. Despair now is great joy. But I want you to notice we're getting ready to deal with an individual sinner. We're looking at the Samaritans, a group of them that he preached to. But the Bible says, but there was, I call this the Simon sinner. Sinner. The Simon sinner. There's a lot of sinners that are nothing more than just Simons. That's what they are. Let's see what the Bible says. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. Now notice what this sinner wanted. Giving out that himself was some great one. Here's what this sinner's saying. I'm a great one. I'm a great one. I'm somebody. I want to tell you, sinner, if you've got that attitude, you're not going to get any help from God. That's right. You're all about yourself. God resisteth the proud. That's what the Bible says. And here's old Simon. He's proud. He's saying, I'm a great one. And notice, he must have been pretty good at what he'd done. To whom they all gave heed. They gave heed from the least to the greatest. Now you would have thought he might have influenced the ignorant and unlearned, but the educated would have been able to see through him. But the Bible says, to whom they all gave heed, they took care, they focused in, they paid attention to him, they adhered to what he said, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, listen to what they say, this man is the great power of God. I mean, what he's got is the power of God. That's what they'd been saying. And let me just stop and say this. Sinners have no spiritual discernment. And can I say, the devil has power. We know from Matthew 24, he'd deceive even the elect if that was possible. That's what the Word of God says. The devil has power to... what about in Moses' day? Moses cast his rod down, become a snake. What did Pharaoh's magicians do? The exact same thing. The devil has power. Now, he doesn't have much power as God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He doesn't have God's power, but he has power, and he's deceived a lot of folk. Oh, here's these Samaritans. They're deceived, don't you see? Here's what it says, from the least to the greatest, and they think he's of God. Hey, there's a lot of people out there today that think certain men are of God, when in fact they're really of the devil. That's right. That's kind of quiet on me, but let me just say that again. A lot of this bunch, it's on the television and out here in these great so-called works and these miracle faith-healing bunch. Friend, I'm telling you, watch out for that crowd. The devil has power just like God does. He'll deceive people. Say, preacher, you ought not say that. Well, it's the truth. Well, you give me $100 and I'll pray for you. That's what they say. That ought to right there tell you what they are. That's exactly what right. Any man of God will pray for you for free if you need prayer, if he's anything to him. You know that's right. It's all a big gimmick. Send me money and I'll give you this or give you that or mail you this or mail you that. Give me $100, God will give you $1,000. I'm telling you, why don't you give me $100 and let God give you $1,000? I'll tell you why, because it's false doctrine. Yes. That's right. Poor old women broke down, older women broke down and want some kind of earthly hope for healing. They're subject to be deceived by that crowd. That's right. Well, I'm hard on that crowd because it's pretty bad when you, it's very bad when you take advantage of the disabled and give them false hope and them send you money for it. That's right. That's how I feel about it. Don't have much sympathy for that crowd. Here's Simon. And I think implied in this text is that Simon uses these powers to generate income. Now, it doesn't say that, but I believe that's what's going on. I believe he's a money man. I believe he's one of these guys who he wants power so he can generate income. He's interested in the things of God for the wrong reason. A lot of sinners are like that. They're interested in God when they're in the hospital and not sure they're going to get out. They want God till they get out of the hospital. And then once they get out of the hospital, they don't need God anymore. Now, you maybe not have run into that, but I've run into it. That's right. And they want God when their homes broke up, but when they get God puts it back together, they don't want him anymore. Well, here's Simon. I want you to notice he was the man about town. But notice verse 12 how it starts out. But when they believe Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It's as if when Philip came to town, everybody turned to Philip and left Simon by himself. But they're saying he's the great power of God. And that verse 11, to him they had regard because of a long time. He had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believe Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It's as if now they've turned from Simon to Philip. Now, why wouldn't you? Simon's power could not bring joy. Philip's power, the Holy Spirit, brought joy. Simon's power could not take care of the palsies and the lame and cast out devils. But Philip's power could. See, here's what I see. I see what God has is always so much better than what the devil has. Some of you that's been out in sin, lived, tasted everything the world has to offer, I've heard you say the world has nothing to offer you like God does. I say amen to that. God, what God has is always better than what the devil has. That's right. My old Simon didn't bring joy. Old Simon didn't bring healing to the palsies and healing to the lame. Old Simon didn't bring salvation. Old Simon's power couldn't cast out devils. But Philip came to town and preached Jesus. And what Simon couldn't do, the Holy Ghost could do. And may I say to you, what this world can't do for you, God can. The Holy Ghost can take your life and make it a joyful life. Amen. Well, that's what I see going on right now. Now Simon's left out. Philip's the man about town now, all of a sudden. And so Simon says this. There's no use. The whole town's turned to him. There's no use for me to try to oppose him. I'm just going to join up with him. I'm just going to join the crowd. And notice in verse 13 what it says. Then Simon himself believed also. And it must have been pretty convincing because Philip baptized him. And Philip knew baptism for believers only. But here's Simon. And he believed also, and when he was baptized, it doesn't say Philip baptized him. I guess I'm reading that into it, but he was baptized. He continued, the Bible says he continued with Philip. Man, that looks like the real deal. That looks like the real deal. I mean, here's what I would say. He got in. Here's a trophy of grace. That's what we'd all be saying. What a trophy of grace we have. Here's an old sinner involved in the in magic and sorcery and the dark world, if I can say it that way. And he's believed. The Bible says he believed. The Bible says he was baptized. The Bible says he continued with Philip, the man of God. Here's what we'd say. He got in. He's saved. He's on his way. The fact of the matter is, he wasn't saved. He was deceived. We'll see what Peter says in just a little bit about him. Everything looked good initially. Hey, we've all seen that crowd, have we not? They start out and you think, my, what a champion. They're going to be for God. Oh, they're going to do good. I remember one boy in particular went to school with Andy and Jason. He come out here and he'd been in and out of jail and had a little drug problem. He come out here and he wanted to be saved. We didn't try to drag him to the altar. Here's what he said. Preacher, I want to be saved. Well, actually, he's talking to Brian. Brian buddied up to him. He's telling Brian, I want to be saved. I said, Brian, don't you give him easy believism. You be sure he needs to be saved. Brian just went through the gospel. I sat right back there while Brian witnessed to it. Maybe right here, Brian. I can't remember. I believe it's right there. And you're sitting there witnessing to him. I'm sitting back there listening. And Brian just went over the gospel again. He said, I need to be saved. He said to him, now listen, here's what the Bible says. He went through salvation with him again, maybe two or three times. He just kept saying, I need to be saved. And so he got down and he prayed. He made a profession of faith. And Mike come to church out here, would you say a month maybe? And I took him down to Cracker Barrel and bought him breakfast, tried to teach him. I'd take a little time, try to disciple him and just be his friend, you know. And we was trying to do right by him. My, we thought we had a trophy of grace. Everything looked right. He said the right things. He was continuing with us, just like Simon. But can I tell you what happened? He run into some bad company. He run into someone and he started missing a little bit. And here's the fact of the matter. Time will always prove what you are. And time went by. It wasn't too many months, maybe a couple of months, 3 months. All of a sudden, you can't find him anymore. He's gone. And then we see where he's arrested. He's back out in sin. Same old person he was before. And I'm not saying he didn't get saved. But I am saying this. If you get saved, you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things will pass away. Hey, somebody as big as God cannot move in down on the inside and it not show up somewhere in your life. I don't believe it. I believe God makes a difference in a man. Yes, man's life. I believe that. So here's old Simon. I want you to notice where his mind is at in verse 13. Here's Simon. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And he wondered at the great salvation he had. He marveled at the great Savior. It's not what it says, is it? Here's what it says. And he wondered, what's he interested in? The miracles. The miracles and the signs which were done. You know what Simon is? He's still the same old fella. He just wants that power he can use for his benefit. He wants a religion that will benefit him, earthly speaking. A lot of sinners like that. You know what I was told one time when I got in the insurance business? Now, you need to join up with some big church where you make a lot of contacts. You can sell a lot of insurance that way. My, you'll get a lot of good connections. meet some folks. They didn't know who I was, really. I laughed at that on the inside, Brother Bud. I knew success comes from God. Amen. Remember that, young people. They'll take you to these success seminars and tell you how to get rich. You don't want to be successful like that. Here's where success is at. And from this book right here. If you find the will of God, get in it and live your life in it, you're successful. That's right. I don't care what you do. I don't care. Well, I do care what you do, but I'm not concerned about your occupation as much as I'm concerned about you being right with God. That's all that matters. That's what matters when this thing's said and done. Here's old Simon. He's still wanting power. He's still got that old nature. He wants to be the great one again, the great power of God. He wants people to marvel over him. And he knows what Philip has much more than what he has. There's a lot of sinners know what God, what there is with God is much more than what they've got in their life, but they want the old life. They want to get the good that they can use and manipulate here, but they want the old life. Let's jump down to verse 18. I'll go back to 14. I won't skip over it. I'll go back to that a little later in the study. But give me 5 minutes and I'll be through with Simon. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Here's what he said. I'll pay you. I'll pay you for that. Aren't you glad this thing can't be bought? I'd have missed out, Brother Ronnie. I just missed out. Daddy worked in a rock quarry and Mama worked in a textile factory and we eked out a living. I couldn't have bought salvation, Brother Harrison. No way could I have purchased it. My, I'm glad. I'm glad it's a free gift from God. Well, hallelujah. And I'm glad after you get the free gift, he keeps you saved. That's right. You don't keep yourself, he keeps you saved. Well, that'll help somebody maybe. When Simon saw, he wanted to offer him money. And now what he's really doing is revealing who he really is. You're seeing him for what he is. Saying, give me also this power. He didn't want the Savior. He wanted a power. He wanted power to do what Philip was doing. He didn't care nothing about living right and doing right and pleasing God and living for God and going to heaven when he died. No, he wanted the power. Give me all, verse 19, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, if it had been some of these TV preachers, they'd say, if you'd give me $1,000, I'll give you that power. That's what they'd have said. But not Peter. He wasn't interested in this filthy money. That's right. He didn't want his sin money. Notice what Peter said. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Your money's going to perish with thee. Oh my. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. I'm glad it's not silver and gold that redeemed me. I love that song, Brother Allen. You sung it today. I love that song. I'm not redeemed by silver and gold. Can I just tell you, that couldn't have redeemed me if I'd have had $10 billion of it. Bill Gates and all his money couldn't buy salvation. It has to come through Jesus, just like I did, just like you did. My, I'm thankful for that. Here's what Peter told him. Thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither lot, neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Here's what he told him to do. Here's what he missed in verse 22. Repent therefore. In other words, turn from your sins to the Savior. My, he was wanting the power. He believed. He was baptized. He continued with the man of God. Peter said, there's one thing missing. You've not repented. You need to repent. Turn to God and then God will bless you with a free gift of that power. That's right. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. Where's the child of God? What's the child of God in? He's in Christ. Where's this fella at? For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then look at what Simon did here. This amazes me. Then answered Simon, said, I want you to pray for me. I want you to do the praying. I don't want to pray. I want you to pray for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Let me tell you something, sinner. When you get serious about salvation, you're going to have to do the praying. That's how it is. You're going to have to pray. Simon wants somebody else to do it for him. But if you're not willing to pray, then you're not ready to be saved. That's right. That's how it is. You're not ready to call on God. You're not ready to be saved. Let me read 24 and 25 and I'll be through. Then answered Simon, said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. We see two classes of sinners. One group of sinners heeded the word of God and received it. And they received blessings for it. And there was great joy in the city. The next sinner, old Simon, he wasn't so much interested in salvation. He just wanted the benefits of salvation, wanted the power. He wanted to be able to do. He wanted to build his name again. He wanted to be somebody. Pride and the love for money. What I see in old Simon's life. He's not sincere. First, it looked like the real thing. He believed, was baptized, continued with Philip. But time proved him to be what he was. My sinner, if you're here tonight, I don't know. He's an unsaved person in this building. But all of a sudden, I feel like I need to give you an invitation. If you need to be saved, this would be a good time. But you're going to have to call on God. You're going to have to repent. Turn from your sin to God. And believe in Him. And He'll save you today. Let's bow our heads if you would. Here's old Philip down here amongst these outcasts of society. And God is doing a great work in lives and hearts. He'll do that tonight. He'll do that tonight for you. If you need to be saved, why don't you? If the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart, why don't you run up the white flag of surrender and come to Him while Sister Grace plays this evening? Maybe you're here and there's something else heavy on your heart. You just need to pray this evening. If you do, why don't you come and take good advantage of this altar this evening? While Sister Grace plays and you and the Holy Ghost are doing business.